Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and the bosun's mate of the watch has piped officer's call, followed very quickly thereafter by all hands to quarters for muster. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together, a half hour in which it is my mission to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. And I have assembled several items which are going to do just that. I send greetings today to all of Captain Joe's people who are about to have some sort of either treatment or some kind of other, some other reason to alter their position on the binnacle list. And we're going to talk about the binnacle list in just a minute. But my greetings in particular go out to all of them because I've had signals over the week that tell me that my concern is well-placed. I send these out to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital on the other side, streaming live on voiceofvashon.org and broadcasting live, unscripted and unrehearsed, on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band. The binnacle list today is a mixed one. I do have to recognize a crossing of the bar, and this one is one that is probably a little bit of a mystery until I explain it. And that is that a young lady by the name of Angela Chow was tragically killed in an automobile accident during the last week. Angela is the sister of Elaine Chow, who was the Secretary of Transportation, and before that she was the Secretary of Labor in two different administrations. She is the wife of Senator Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the Senate. And I bring her up in particular because for two reasons. The first one is that she was the chief executive for a Chinese-based shipping company, and she was a very powerful, powerful woman in shipping circles. And in fact, the notification of her death came to me through G Captain. And the other reason I bring it up is that she was a great friend to the Coast Guard Academy. And I am, as of course, a graduate of the Coast Guard Academy. And furthermore, she was a good friend to the Academy as an institution of education, as an institution of developing leaders in the maritime business, and her crossing of her particular bar was memorialized by a signal that I got from the Coast Guard Academy. She was only 50 and was an extremely influential and powerful woman in maritime circles. I think that we will all be sorry. We will all be sorry that she is gone. Secretary Austin is back on the binnacle list. His Majesty the King, King Charles III, is on the binnacle list. And his daughter-in-law, Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales. Now, those of you who listen to me and have listened to me for a long time know that I consider myself not a subject, but as close to being a citizen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland as one can be and still not be actually a citizen. And so I keep in mind and announce here on periodically whenever any of those people appear on the Binnacle list. But in particular, the Binnacle list is occupied today by some of Captain Joe's people who this week are going to have surgeries in connection with cancer diagnoses and other procedures, and also those who are in treatment centers of various kinds. It is my custom, of course, not to identify in particular who these people are unless they ask me to or want me to. And I have, in fact, done that. And I've identified myself, which takes me right now to my own position on the Binnacle list. I do not know whether it is the magic elixir, which is a cannabis-based product, or whether it is the passage of time. But in this last week, I have enjoyed a considerable improvement in my condition, so much so that I am no longer taking the cannabis-based unguent. I am taking Tylenol only at night to get through the night. And I am going to discontinue all of those products just as soon as I can swing myself in and out of the rack without having a significant twinge. And, of course, I have to toss Sailor the cat out of the way to make that swing. We're doing pretty well. And I am not ready to take myself off of the Binnacle list, but I am ready to declare that I am much improved, and that those of you who persist in sending me signals of concern, I am always delighted to hear from you, and I am always very conscious of your concern, your love, your affection, your respect, and your regard. And let us hope that, because I was thinking, the first time this hit me, I was thinking, oh boy, here I am coming up on my 50th birthday, which is going to be the end of this year, out at Point Robinson. That's going to be an all-hands invitation. So the I was thinking, whoa, all stop. And let's check this out. I was thinking maybe it was time for me to get serious about cleaning out the carport so that my family, when I cross my own bar, doesn't have to do that. Well, not so, and the carport is going to be moved along in not such a smart and seaman-like fashion. The last week, I talked about the public, the People's Republic of China flagged Guo Yuan number 18. And I promised you then, and I am now fulfilling that promise, that if she were still on the federal anchorage, which is right across from Captain's quarters, that I would find out what was going on with her and why she was sitting there for so long. She is still there. She was there this morning, and I called up Marine Traffic, a service that I highly recommend if you're interested in traffic all over the world. Marine Traffic, by the way, is reporting that they are following worldwide over 277,000 ships. If you're interested in shipping at all, I highly recommend that you call up Marine Traffic. I believe that you can sign up for a free part, and that will at least show you where all the ships are. And if you pay a little bit of money, which I do, then you get even more information. So there she is sitting on the hook outside just across from Captain's Quarters, still there. I called up the vessel traffic service this morning. And I got a watch stander at vessel traffic service who did not know the answer to my question and put me on with the watch supervisor. I had a vessel traffic service as part of my command in Sault Ste. Marie, and Sault Control still exists. And it, unlike the vessel traffic service here, is a mandatory participation operation. Every ship that checks in to the St. Mary's River must participate in the vessel traffic service. The controllers on watch actually dictate which parts of the river particular ships can be in at any given time, can hold ships, can tell them not to come up the river or go down the river. Vessel traffic service here is one of monitoring and interferes in the maneuvering of ships only when they detect an unsafe situation. But it's a wonderful it is a wonderful system, and it has the monitoring of everything that's going on in Puget Sound from the pilot station at Port Angeles for over 100 nautical miles all the way down to the Port of Tacoma. So they were the right people to ask, and the answer to the question is this. I said, is she there because she owes somebody money or because she doesn't have a full crew or because she has some safety violation or for some other reason? The captain of the port, who is a Coast Guard officer and a very powerful one, has the authority to let that ship sail or keep her there or and for any one of a number of different reasons. Watch supervisor says, no, Captain, the only thing that's happening is that she is waiting to go alongside the bulk terminal down in Tacoma. We only have one bulk terminal, I believe. It can only handle one and maybe two ships at a time. She is completely light. Her bulb is all the way up out of the water. And she is going to skitter like a mayfly across the surface of the water to get to that loading position. Furthermore, the watch supervisor, who is not plugged into the loading arrangements at the various loading facilities, was not able to tell me an ETA for Tacoma, which would be an ETD from here because it's only a short steam from the federal anchorage off of Captain's Quarters to the bulk loading facility in Tacoma. She was not able to tell me that. If she is still there next week, that will be 3 weeks. And her owners in Shanghai will be getting very nervous because, of course, she's not making any money so long as she is sitting there. That's the story as we have it today for Guo Wan 18 under the flag of the People's Republic of China. Today has two amazing days. First of all, it's Election Day. I take this opportunity to deliver a pontification on the subject of elections. It is one of the great, great obligations and privileges of citizenship in this great land that we all serve. I have every single full faith and confidence that my ballot, which I sent through the drop box because we don't have polling places anymore in the state of Washington. I wish we did. But I have every full faith and confidence that envelope is barcoded. It has little ticky boos all over it for tracking it. I can go on to the website and track my ballot. Know where it is, know who's got it, know how it's being counted. It's a great, great arrangement. My one wish, if I were able to order this to happen, is that we return to polling places. The right to vote, to elect our officials and to vote on other things. The ballot, parenthetical insertion here, the ballot that I sent into the system had only one entry on it for the magical Isle of Vashon, and that was to renew the school levy, for which I voted aye. Close parenthesis. The idea that we have this wonderful privilege with voting systems in almost every place in this country that are safe and secure and accurate and reflect who actually won. And so, to me, that privilege is so precious that it ought to have a little bit of a cost associated with it. Now, Captain Joe, if you want that, then you're going to reduce the number of people who will vote. That may be true. But the way that we fix that, the way we solve that, is a generational thing. And we go back to the idea that we have civics classes in schools. And in these civics classes, one of the things we talk about is voting. And we could even have mock voting so that everybody gets the idea. When we had a polling place here on the island, my polling precinct was Tahlequah, which is just a few clicks away from where I live, Captain's Quarters. And I always look forward to going and to visiting with the people in the polling place, thanking them for doing it. And it became a little bit of a social event as well as civic duty. I'd like to see us return to that, and I'd like to see us people going to polling places and exercising this such a precious right. So today is voting day. If you live in a jurisdiction that has an election today for one reason or another, then it is my wish, my hope, and my command that you fill out that ballot, the one that fell down behind the radiator, and you make sure that you have fulfilled all of the requirements. There is a signature requirement on the envelope here in the state of Washington. And that signature is scanned electronically. And if it does not conform to the one that's on the electronic record, it gets kicked out, and then people handle it and deal with it, get it reconciled. Every vote gets counted. Every legitimate vote in this state gets counted and gets counted accurately and for whom it was intended to be cast. On that, do you have my hand? So that's the first thing. The second thing that is today is this is National Pancake Day. I got a signal in my email traffic yesterday from Denny's. And Denny says, today is National Pancake Day. Free pancakes. Now, I'm not a huge Denny's participant, customer, but I felt that it was worth pointing out that free should mean free. So I went on to the Denny's website. It turns out that it's not quite free at all, that in order to acquire what Denny's describes as a short stack, which is two pancakes, you must also purchase an entree of some sort, and you must do it in the restaurant. You cannot do it in a pickup where some Denny's, I think, have where you can pick up. You have to actually be in the restaurant. You have to buy an entree. You have to do it within the hours which are prescribed for free pancakes. And so I leave it to each one of Captain Joe's people who are tempted to go to their neighborhood Denny's as to whether it is really worth it. In any case, in the same website from Denny's, I learned that tomorrow, which is the Feast of St. Valentine. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, that you can go to the Denny's at 350 Fremont Street in Las Vegas. And free, once again free, by then you are outside the window for free pancakes, but you can get married for free at a Denny's. Or you can repeat your vows free at Denny's, but only tomorrow is it free. You have to pay something. Now, if you feel that a wedding at a Denny's is the right way to begin your life together, I urge you to be ever alert for other challenges that may come along. Because it seems to me that, if nothing else, you would be sharing that wedding with people who you know not. People who are there thinking that free pancakes extended to tomorrow as well. But, dear ones, it does not. Only today. And only tomorrow can you get married free at Denny's, 350 Fremont Street in Las Vegas. Tomorrow are two religious holidays. The first one is the Feast of St. Valentine. And so I am declaring here my love and regard and affection for all of Captain Joe's people, because I am not a great fan of the forced draft of acquisition for the Feast of St. Valentine's. That, of course, is no secret to any of you who know me well. And now it's no secret to those of you who are listening for the first time. So that's the first thing. Valentine's Day. Flowers, candy. Oh, God, I don't know what all else. All sorts of things are part or can be part of the observation. I submit that the best Valentine that you can do is if you are responsible for somebody you love and or somebody's you love and for whom you are responsible and accountable, go and inspect their car and see if there's anything that needs to be done to keep them safe and happily driving. When Mary and I were together, I took care of all of our vehicles. I made it clear to her that she never had to worry about whether it needed any servicing or tires or anything like that. And it always had a full tank of petrol or as close to it as we could get, as we could keep. It always seems to me, I use that as a metaphor for taking care of those for whom we are responsible and accountable and who we love. And it seems to me that the best Valentine's gift that we can give is a little bit of attention to something that maybe we have kind of put off. And that is what I have to say about all of that. Tomorrow is also Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of Lent, and in the Catholic tradition, the Roman Catholic tradition of the Western Rite, you will see tomorrow some of your friends, and if you are of the RC persuasion, some of your family members with a little spot of dirt up on their forehead. And these are the ashes. They are put on, they're daubed onto our forehead by a priest to remind us that we are going to return to dust. The ashes come from the burning of the palms from the previous year's Palm Sunday. And at least that's the way it was when I was growing up in the Catholic tradition. And I believe that's probably true today. I don't believe Vatican II Council changed any of that. So that's the story, and it begins the season of Lent, which is 40 days before Easter. During the Lenten season, the Catholic tradition also is that you make some sort of a sacrifice. And my mother and I often, in the years when she was still living in her house in Arlington, Virginia, and I was about all of my father's business all over the world, we would communicate back and forth. My mother's nickname in the family was Toots, and Toots and I would communicate back and forth, and we would agree that if we were tempted to consume alcoholic beverages, that we would forego that for the 40 days. Well, Lent officially ends at noon on Holy Saturday. And that always led to, if I was in a place where Toots and I could get together for the celebration of the Easter season, that we would also use it as the opportunity to restore our enthusiasm for the consumption of alcoholic beverages, and we would have a few. So if you are going to make some sort of a sacrifice for Lent, you're doing it in a tradition which goes back centuries. The Air Force is recalling some retirees. I saw this article in the Airlifter, which is the newspaper for the McCord Air Force Base Airlift Wing. And so I seized on that with great enthusiasm because I've been waiting for the commandant of the Coast Guard to send me a signal and say, Captain Joe, all is forgiven. Come back on active duty. Admiral Fagan, my sea bag is packed. I await the call. Alas, I believe that I may have been aged out or ranked out or in some way outed that I am not going to be recalled. But the Air Force is doing it, and they're doing it up through the grade of Lieutenant Colonel, which in our service is a commander, or 07. 05, rather, 05. So even if I were in the Air Force, I would be too senior to be recalled to active duty. But hope springs eternal, and I am not taking anything out of that sea bag, at the bottom of which are the clothes stops. And someday I will tell you how a sea bag is properly packed, the order in which things go into it. Clothes stops are always at the bottom. All Coast 77. I am going to briefly, I'm just going to read the title of All Coast 77 because I want to talk about it. I am going to talk about it in a future program, but not next week because I have a special broadcast lined up for next week. All Coast 77 came to me this morning. Its title is Easing Administrative Requirements, Body Composition, Screening, Beta, Test, Boat Crew, Physical Fitness Test. That should give you a little flavor of what that particular All Coast is all about. But it sure as hell doesn't ease any administrative requirements. And if I got that sitting up in the captain's chair in Northwind halfway to the Antarctic and I and the messenger of the watch brought me that on the captain's clipboard and I read that, I probably would issue forth a mighty oath and not my oath of office. So here we are, dear ones. We've come once again to the end of our time together. And it is, as always, I am on station and watching properly. My eyes are ever more alert. My hips are doing a heck of a lot better. And not only am I on station and watching properly, but as always, as well, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And next week, I'm going to have two lovely ladies on with me from the Vashon Heritage Museum. And it's a really special program for a couple of reasons, and those will all be disclosed to you when we foregather here in just a week. You all remain, as always, in the palm of my hand, and I will see you and talk with you next week.